Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about telephones and some alternative methods you have for essentially making a phone call. We'll be talking about buying a phone, what features you might get, what features you might look for, and using Google Voice, Google Talk, Skype, all with the appropriate accessibility tools. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is you can combine using your cell phone with your landline to get better reception for long-distance calls, and yet you only get charged for minutes on your cell phone, which if you're like us, you have way more minutes than you can use.
And one of the reasons for mentioning this on this particular show is there are a lot of people with visual problems that also have some hearing problems for one reason or another. Either they're elderly or have some kind of hearing disorder associated with some other problem they might have.
And in particular, although we think we can hear just fine, although I do sometimes complain about my husband mumbling, our parents are older than we are, and both of our mothers have hearing problems. And frankly, when we call them on the cell phone, they don't understand us very well. But we don't really feel like paying for long-distance service on the home phone and the cell phone. So we pay for it on the cell phone, and then, you know, you get conference calling with your cell phone plan. So we dial the house phone, one of us picks that up, and then we dial the other person's phone.
From our cell phone.
Hopefully they answer, and then we hit the send button one more time, and now we've linked in our house phone with the other person's phone. And then however many of us feel like getting on the phone at the same time, we've got extensions all over the house. So that's another benefit, because with the cell phone, if more than one person wants to talk, you have to put it on speakerphone, and that's even harder to understand. So then we get to, you know, have each of us have our own extension on the house phone. We get much better reception that way.
Right. One of the tricks is to make sure that the cell phone you put either far away from where you're talking on the house phone or stick it in a closet someplace. Otherwise, you'll get some very unusual feedback and strange noises. That really works quite well. I mean, I think when we speak to our folks, I mean, they have a lot easier time hearing us, and the reception is just a whole lot better, because those little microphones and speakerphones on cell phones just don't do a good quality to your voice and the feedback that people hear.
Now, if you don't have a cell phone, there are ways of doing similar things using a computer and your house phone, and we'll be talking about that later in the program. Now turning to our low-tech item for this show, we'll be talking about buying a telephone that's relatively easy to use for somebody with a visual impairment. Anytime we buy a new device, we're very careful to pick out something that Pete can use and has all the functions we think are important. Having too many buttons or features is not always a good thing. You just have to search through a bigger pile to find the ones you want. Having too many buttons can make it hard to find the one you're looking for, and having too many features can also be confusing. So, of course, you know, we're not the first people to think about this. The National Federation of the Blind has thought about it pretty thoroughly. And right on their website, which is www.nfb.org, they advise people, and I quote, to be sure that telephones without speech access make some tones or other sounds that are easily distinguished for power on, dialing, and shutdown. Try to find a phone with easy to duplicate steps for dialing. For example, open the phone, hold down a speed dial key, and the number is dialed. Make sure mistakes are easy to recover from, such as pressing the end key repeatedly between calls to clear the screen, or being able to delete an entire set of numbers just dialed by holding down the clear key. Even low-end phones can have non-visually accessible features, such as buttons that make distinct sounds when pressed. And all of this is great advice, and they go on and on. They've got all sorts of great advice for what to look for in buying a telephone. And here are some things that we look for. We just bought new phones for the house, so we've got some recent experience.
Yeah, so some of these are features that you just want in a phone regardless of whether it's accessible or not, and some are features that you really want to be careful about if you do have some kind of vision or other issue. So the first thing that you might want to decide is whether you want a corded phone that, you know, has a wire connected to the base, or whether it's a cordless phone so you can wander around the house and do your business while you're talking on the phone.
We learned in researching this show that the original cordless telephone was invented by a jazz musician named Terry Paul in 1965, but she couldn't market her invention since it had a 2-mile range and it caused radio signal interference with local aircraft. But fortunately, things improved, and we've been using cordless phones probably since the early 80s.
In fact, you do have to watch out a little bit with cordless phones. Depending on the frequency range, they come in anywhere from 900 megahertz, I guess, up to a little over 5 gigahertz.
5.8 gigahertz.
Is it that high?
Yeah.
And you may want to watch out because sometimes you will get interference on certain bands depending on, if a microwave is nearby or maybe you have a wireless router. So you do want to be a little bit careful about that. Usually the higher the frequency, the better reception, better quality you'll get. So the next thing we thought about in buying a phone was how many handsets do you want? So we like to have extensions all over the house. And as Nancy mentioned in the tip of the week, you know, we often speak on multiple extensions when we talk to relatives and friends.
And you can get matched telephones. We actually got rid of our previous phones. We only wanted one more phone, but we couldn't get one that was matched. And if you get telephones that have mismatched impedances, if you're an electrical engineer, you'll know what I mean, but the guys at Radio Shack understand that too. Then when you pick up different kinds of telephones, one of them is going to sound really, really quiet to the people on the other end, and that's pretty frustrating. So we just bought a set that had 4 telephones for the one base station, and that works out great. Now we have 4 matched extensions.
So here's another feature we look for that isn't necessarily an accessibility issue for everybody, but it can be used as an accessibility feature, is does your phone have an answering machine built in? So it's nice to have an answering machine to, you know, when people call and you're not home and stuff. But as we pointed out in earlier shows, we've used this feature a lot just to leave each other messages around the house. So for instance, if Nancy's going out, she'll put a message on the message machine from the phone. And then if I come in the house later, I'll know where she went. Or if I'm exercising, I can leave a message and let her know how long I'm going to be.
But now to the really important part, the buttons. You know, especially these days, everything's got a snazzy touchscreen. They look terrific, but that doesn't do you any good if you can't feel the distinction between the buttons. One little known fact is that the 5 button on every telephone, as long as it's got physical buttons, has some sort of physically distinguishing mark on it, whether it's a raised bump or it's a different shape or whatever.
Now, sometimes they're a little bit indented.
Right. Just make sure you can feel the 5. And then once you know where the 5 is, of course, that's the one in the middle, then it's easy to find the rest of the numbers.
Yeah. The other thing I like to look out for is not only are the buttons large so that I don't accidentally hit the wrong button, but that they're distinct and that there's a little space between each one. Otherwise, if they run into each other and if they're placed in a flat array, it's sometimes hard to distinguish one button from another, even if they are big.
And then there's, of course, all these other features that are just kind of niceties. You know, does it have a belt clip? What color is it? Someone might care. Is there a jack for a headset if you want to have an hour-long conversation? It might be more comfortable to wear a different kind of headset rather than holding the phone. Does it mount on the wall or the desk or whatever? But in addition to some of the features we've been talking about, there are catalogs from which you can purchase specialty products for people with visual and other impairments. And in particular, we brought in a catalog from MaxiAids, but there are several of these. They have specialty phones that either have large print, oversized buttons, adjustable volume, audible feedback for caller ID. You could buy a freestanding separate display with large print and audible feedback for caller ID. Some of them have flashing lights instead of ringers if you really have a hearing problem instead of a vision problem. And so I thought we would just give you the contact information for some of the major catalog companies where you can order these things from. So the first is MaxiAids. They're at www.maxiaids.com. Telephone 800-522-6294. Or Independent Living Aids is at www.independentliving.com. independentliving, that's all one word, .com, or 800-537-2118, or the LS&S group. Those are both S's in spaghetti. And their website is www.lssgroup.com, or their phone number is 800-468-4789.
And finally, you really ought to talk with the salesperson in the store and take one of these phones in your hand and play with some of the buttons and features and stuff. Make sure that you can get a receipt and that the store has a good return policy in case it doesn't work out when you actually get it home.
And one more resource I'd like to mention is the Code Factory. They're actually located in Spain, but their website in English is www.codefactory.es/en. And they have all sorts of software packages that will add accessibility to a variety of telephones and televisions and all sorts of other stuff.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is Google Voice. Google Voice offers a number of features that enable you to use and connect your home, business, and/or mobile phones in new and interesting ways. Of course, you need to get your computer involved in this too. And we will be explaining not just how to use it, but how to use it with a screen reader. So the best way to describe Google Voice and introduce this section is to listen to the overview that they have posted on their website.
Over time, humans have continually come up with new ways to communicate. And while we've come pretty far, there are still some things that don't quite work the way they should. For instance, consider voicemail, which you can only listen to by calling one number on your phone. It is stuck in your voicemail system, and it deletes itself automatically after 2 weeks. Or, say you're trying to reach a friend with a mobile phone, work phone, and a home phone. Right now, you might call each number one by one, trying to find the person. And after you finally leave a voicemail, the guy has to call the right voicemail box to find your message. So we asked, what if telephony were reinvented today? The result? Google Voice. Google Voice gives you lots of cool calling features, no matter what kind of phone you have or which carrier you use. For instance, if someone calls your Google Voice number, you can have it ring all your phones, or none of your phones, depending on the time of day or the person calling. And if you let it go to voicemail, you can listen in before answering. Or just wait and read a transcript of the message. And maybe send a text message reply for free. And if you have an unwanted caller, it's easy to block them. The list of features goes on and keeps growing. Point being, in short, less annoyances and more awesomeness. For free. So give it a shot. Visit google.com/voice.
So as she mentioned in that little clip there, in order to access Google Voice, go to www.google.com/voice. And on that page, that will enable you to set up an account with Google Voice and then run this whole system from your computer.
Now, of course, you have to have a Gmail account ahead of time in order to do this, but that's easy to do. Just go to Google and then there's a place you can click for mail and set up a Gmail account. You'll also find a help link that brings you to a number of useful suggestions and hints on how to get started and how to use the service. So, Pete, you've been using this service for a while. What features do you like best?
I actually use it quite a bit. For instance, we share a cell phone. And so when Nancy's out of the house, our landline phone only does local calls unless you pay for long distance, which we don't. So I'll often call my mom, who's in a different part of the state and stuff like that, through Google Voice. Or the other thing that'll happen is if we're out of the house with the cell phone, people don't know whether to call us at home or on the cell phone, and you can set up Google Voice to ring both phones or either phone. So let's just go through quickly some of the features that it offers so you know what Google Voice is all about. Once you set up your account, you can define a phone number for yourself. So Google allows you to choose a phone number where you want people to call you and just choose something that's convenient and easy to remember or similar to your own home phone. So that will be the number that you use to access your Google account, phone account, when you use a regular phone instead of the computer, or it'll be the number that people will call if they want to get a hold of you. Then you select which phones ring when people call that Google number. So you can set it up to ring just your home phone or just your landline phone or just your office phone or all three or any combination. Sometimes this actually gets a little confusing to have these multiple numbers. So we have this set up to ring both our landline phone and our cell phone. And sometimes if we're home and someone calls that number, both phones start ringing at once and you never know which one to answer. But either one you answer will work. Another neat little thing that Google Voice does for you is if someone leaves a message for you on your Google Voice account, it'll actually transcribe that into a text email, and you can be sent the email if you like. And included in the email is also a link to the audio if the transcription into text isn't all that accurate. But that can be handy sometimes, too. So you can, just like any other phone, you can save messages, forward messages by just, you know, forwarding to another email or something like that. So once you have this all set up, the way to initiate a call is to go to your Google Voice homepage, which again is www.google.com/voice. And once you have it set up, this will show up all of your relevant information for your account. To initiate the phone call, you essentially put in a number into Google Voice, and then your home phone will ring, you pick it up, and then after you pick it up, the phone you're calling starts to ring. And so you're actually calling between your home phone or mobile phone to whatever phone you're trying to call. So now that you set up your call, all these calls, if you're within the U.S. or calling within Canada, these calls are free, which is kind of nice. And if you're calling outside the United States or Canada, then you only get charged pennies per minute, which is a nice thing. You can set up conference calls if you want to talk to multiple people at a time. In fact, we have a little example of that.
Setting up a conference call often requires remembering long dial-in numbers and access numbers. With Google Voice, conference calls are made easy. Just have the participants call your Google number. As each call comes in, you'll be asked whether to connect them to the conference call.
Hey, Kenneth, 1 second while I add Christina.
To add this caller to your current call, press 5.
So that's pretty cool. And it's got lots of other features like many other standard phones and even some special phones. So you can set up personalized greetings. You can block callers if you don't want to hear from certain people. You can screen callers and listen to the messages that they're leaving. And if you don't want to answer the phone, have it just save that message. And it's easy to share these messages with other people via email and just forward links to these messages back and forth. Now, it gets a little bit tricky when you want to use JAWS with Google Voice. A lot of these Google applications don't work tremendously well with JAWS. I mean, they're using sort of like next generation web technology, and the screen readers are always a little bit behind. So you have to work a little bit harder to do these things. But it is possible. I mean, I do this. So first of all, go to your Google Voice page that I mentioned before, www.google.com/voice. And then what I do when I'm using JAWS is to hit these magic keys, and I forget where I found these things, but if I hit the JAWS key with the number 3, that passes the next key through the application without JAWS interacting on it. And so if I hit JAWS key 3 followed by G, and then do that again, JAWS key 3 followed by a C, that now brings me to an edit box where I can edit my phone number. Now with JAWS, if I hit enter, it'll put me into forms mode, and I can type in the phone number, or if I have that phone number in my contacts, as I type, the contact name will automatically appear. So for example, when I type ANN for my mother, her mother's name is Ann, the phone number automatically appears there. Now to make the call, you need to use the JAWS cursor because the button for starting the call doesn't seem to work when you hit enter on it or clicking on it. So to use the JAWS cursor, hit the JAWS key and the minus on the numpad key, or if you're in a laptop mode, the equivalent keystroke is to hit the JAWS key and the left bracket. Then you arrow down to the button that says connect, and you click on that button. And the clicking can be done by hitting the JAWS key and the slash on the numpad key if you're using a desktop. Or if you're using a laptop, you would hit the JAWS key and then the digit 8. When you hit that connect button, you'll see it change to something that says connecting. and your phone will start to ring, and then you pick up your phone, and then it will connect you to the number you're trying to call. So it's a little bit of a complex process, but it can be done. And as I said, at the end, you have to use the JAWS cursor to get through the rest of those menus.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if that were a little bit more seamless?
It would. And so what I like to do when I run into problems with this with people's applications that aren't working properly with screen readers or aren't fully accessible is to find out how to contact these people and provide them with feedback. I mean, sometimes they're not aware that this is a problem. Sometimes they are, and they just, it's not, you know, it's too much work for them to change, and they haven't heard complaints from enough people. So what I like to do is to contact these people, and this can be done by going to one of the Google support pages, which again is pretty easy to find, www.google.com/support. And if you go to that web page, you'll find how to contact Google for support of a number of their applications. And one of them is this telephony service, the Google Voice and similar products. So what I would do and what I've done is to go to those contact pages, write them a little note and saying, look, I'm using this product. I either can't do it at all with JAWS or it's very difficult with JAWS. Why can't this be made easier and more accessible? And if you make your letter, you know, polite, just make them aware of the problem. And if they get enough feedback from users, maybe these things will be rectified.
Now for this week's high-tech item, using Skype with JAWS scripts. This works a little bit better. We've talked about Skype before. In fact, it was show 1111, but now we're going to explicitly show you how to use it with some specialized scripts that have been written for JAWS screen reader for this purpose.
The reason this works better is because someone actually went out of their way and developed a very sophisticated set of scripts for using JAWS with Skype. And I think this developer has actually worked with the Skype people and visited their development plan to make sure that all this stuff was in sync. And it makes it a whole lot easier. Anyway, this person's name is Doug Lee, and his website is www.dlee.org. And on that page, you'll find links to not only the Skype scripts, but also some other utilities that might be useful with JAWS. Once you've downloaded these scripts from his page, you should download them to your computer and then run the executable. And essentially what it does is place the JAWS scripts in the proper directory and compile the scripts for you. And then the easiest way to get started with these scripts is to hit the JAWS key plus the H to bring up help for that particular application. In fact, this works in many applications where there are scripts for JAWS. If the scripts have been written properly, you can hit the JAWS key plus H and it will bring up help for that particular application and the specific keys to be used in that specific application. So people aren't confused. When I say the JAWS key, what that means is when you're using a desktop computer, the JAWS key is the insert key. If you're using a laptop computer and have JAWS configured to work in laptop mode, then the JAWS key is the caps lock or shift lock key.
And another hint that's for any program, whether or not you're using JAWS, if you want help on any program you're using, you should be able to get there by pressing F1.
And that will give you the help for the specific application. So F1 will bring up the Skype help that was written by the Skype developers. But similar to that is the JAWS keystroke for getting specific JAWS help if someone wrote some more extended documentation for a particular application for which there are scripts. The equivalent JAWS help for that particular program is to hit the JAWS key and F1 twice quickly. Now, in the case of Skype, this actually brings you to a web page that gives you the latest documentation for Skype. For many other scripts, this will just open up a longer HTML document that's more text-oriented rather than just a list of commands. So those are some useful ways to get help. Now, after you've installed Skype and before you start working with the scripts, well, even if you have the scripts installed, what you'll want to do is set up Skype so that it's connected to either your web video, your webcam, or your microphone on your computer. And so you want to go to the Tools menu by hitting Alt-T and then typing O to get down to the options menu, and then you'll see a list of topics there. There are general options, there are audio options, video options, and so go to each of the audio and video options to make sure that your devices are connected up properly. There's also a place in there in the audio settings to make a test call to Skype, so you can see if your audio, your microphone, and your speakers are set up properly. So do those little configuration things. Now, I also have in the options menu, there's a keyboards hotkey option, and you can enable a bunch of keyboard shortcuts to be used with Skype, so you can easily answer and hang up on calls. So I have my Skype set up so that when I hit Alt Page Up, it answers a call no matter where I am. I could be in a Word document, and if I hear Skype ringing on my phone, I hit Alt Page Up, and bingo, it answers. And if I'm in the middle of a call, I hit Alt Page Down, and the call will be terminated. If you want to make a call, hit Control 1. This is one of the JAWS hotkeys, and this brings up the list of all your contacts. And then you just arrow down to the contact you want, and then you can hit the right mouse button or Shift F10 to bring up the context menu, and then you get a bunch of options like making an audio call, a video call, adding this person as a contact, or a number of other options. If you hit Control 3, this will bring you to like a chat area or a message area within Skype. It's also possible to chat with people in Skype. Skype can also be used, if you read the documentation, for transferring files, and it's a great way for doing many things and keeping in touch with people. In fact, I've been in contact with many other visually impaired users around the world who have given me help on lots of things just interacting via Skype.
Well, and we use it for speaking with our son, who, as we may have mentioned, lives in the mountains of Colorado, and his cell phone reception is miserable. So we just talk to him on Skype, and it works great. But we have friends with grandchildren in remote locations. Let me tell you, some of them are really far away.
You know, being physicists, we work with a lot of foreign folks, and they had relatives and friends in countries around the world, and they've used Skype to be in contact.
So it's a great service, and you know, now you know how to use it with your screen reader, so that's terrific. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about blind professional musicians, about actually playing music, about being a music producer, running a music production studio. And if you remember when we had Samantha singing a few weeks ago, we actually talked to the guy who made that happen, and he describes how he did that.
Another connection I made through Skype, actually.
That's right. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at area code 585-258-0333, and we will try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.